Hey, Chris, if you had to think of the best conference, retreat, or event for small group pastors and point people, what would it be? I know there are a million church conferences, retreats, and events each year, and they're all digital and in person now, but for whatever reason, there aren't as many events for small group people as other topics like leadership or women's ministry or worship. Despite the fact that small group people are the best looking, most underpaid, and essential members of a church staff, notwithstanding.
That is correct, Brian. And the Small Group Network puts on several events a year specifically for those good-looking small group point people, including Align, which I am a big part of. I help teach that. But probably the best group's event of the year is the Lobby Gathering.
The lobby gathering
has a lot going on for it because it combines the best parts of conferences and retreats and then drops the rest.
In what way? What are you talking about?
Well, Steve Gladen from the Small Group Network has been to a lot of conferences and realized that his favorite part was usually the conversation and connections that happened in the lobby. Yeah, breakouts and keynotes were helpful, but meeting other people that were doing the same thing and dealing with the same challenges and then connecting with those other small group people had a lot more value and longer lasting impact than any of the breakouts did. So they designed an event around that idea, which actually I was there when we kind of came up with
Steve.
That. But Steve and Rick Howerton and Bill
Howerton
and a few other people. Yeah, Rick was a part of it. And because Steve is at Saddleback Church, which is a large church in Southern California, it also happens to be in a beautiful place in February of next year at their Rancho Capistrano Retreat Campus, which means tickets include lodging, get this, and food, Brian.
Well, just based on the facts, that is someplace warm and sunny in February always makes it a top-tier small group event, in my opinion. The networking and discussions are just the proverbial bonus. But I do remember seeing, we were at a conference, and I saw all these people hanging out in the lobby. And I remember when this event came through, thinking, oh, I know exactly what they're after.
Yep. And the Small Group Network gave us a discount code, get this, for $100 off just for being the two best looking guys in podcasting.
Wow.
I did not write this. Brian did not write this.
I bet he says that to all the guys.
I would agree with it. It's group answers, all one word. So GROUPANSWERS. Just go to smallgroupnetwork.com. Look for the lobby gathering event. Enter the code group answers. Again, one word. Get that $100 off. And of course, don't forget to check out their Facebook group, Small Group Network, to connect with thousands of other small group people.
That's the lobby. Check it out.
Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Group Answers Podcast, a weekly show designed to resource, train, and encourage small group leaders. Each episode considers current trends and resources, as well as timeless truths and methods of discipleship. It's hosted by Brian Daniel and Chris Surratt. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Group Answers Podcast. I am Brian Daniel, and as always, I am here with co-host, friend, expert, writer, all-around great personality, Chris Surratt. Chris, good to be back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Brian. You know, we haven't seen each other in a few weeks. We haven't been able to record a Group Answers. You know, can we talk about it at this point, the why?
I don't know. Has the gag order been lifted? I'm not sure. I didn't get that push notification.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're still dotting some I's and crossing some T's, but basically, we were locked out. We were locked out by management. There were some contract negotiations going on. You were holding fast to getting that trailer that you need for between podcast sessions to relax.
Yeah, you know, I was.
Did you get that? Did you end up getting that in negotiations?
No, I did not. No. All right. But you're right. It is on me that we were locked out. That's the term that the kids are using these days. We were locked out. We were negotiating our new CBA, and we were unable to get into the facilities or to the equipment. And yes, I was holding out for the trailer, but Chris, I mean, that's all I got. I mean, in terms of perks associated with being your co-host, that's it, is the trailer and the amenities in the trailer. So I think it was worth fighting for, but I, in the end, didn't get it.
Yeah, I got my name first on the title, so that was the only thing I really wanted to make sure that happened. So underneath the group answers, you see my name first. You know, that's natural. I don't think anybody would argue with that. But yeah, no, we are back, and we kid. We've had some scheduling stuff. I now live part-time in California, part-time in Tennessee, and you're just a busy man watching a lot of shows. Speaking of, what are you watching? What are you binging? What are you doing?
I wouldn't say that. The streaming, especially moving into the Christmas season, we got a little extra time. You know, I will say that TV is really good these days if you can find the right show. And I'm so grateful to Apple. I'm grateful to Apple Plus and some of the others for protecting me from myself and releasing. I think Disney Plus does the same thing, releasing one thing at a time. A couple that I found on Hulu, there's one called Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short. Yeah, Selena Gomez, I'm not all that familiar with, but really smart show. Some of the episodes are, I think, maybe too clever, but I really like what they did with that. Sometimes, Chris, I will say, and maybe we've talked about it, I appreciate what a creative direction is trying to do more than I do the actual execution. But in this case, I think they hit on both. So that's kind of fun if you haven't seen it. And another one we picked up is the new Dexter. I missed the first whatever seasons. I think it's a Showtime series. But the new one is, I would put it into the category of interesting. How about you?
Yeah. I wish we had Hulu. That is like the one streaming service for some reason that we don't have. I think we have pretty much all of them except for like Paramount Plus or whatever that is now, Discovery Plus. We don't have those. But of the major ones, we have Netflix. We have Apple. We have Disney, so, you know, but we don't have Hulu, so I may have to check that out. You know, it's funny, we're kind of simple. We just finished the latest season of Bake Off, the British Bake Off. It's a standard for us, for our family, and so we watched that, and then we watched the holiday special episodes of Bake Off, so that was fun. Also starting to get into a few other shows that, you know, I can't really recommend online yet. But as soon as we get through maybe another season and a half, might be able to do that. But this is a great time over the next couple weeks, Christmas, New Year's. Just binge them. Just go for it.
Yeah, I would on Netflix, I would recommend 14 Peaks as well. So if you haven't seen that, I think that just dropped and it's pretty cool. It's a mountaineering show. Yeah, it's a documentary. And I think there's actually a lot to be said about leadership in it. So It's about a guy named Nims who summits all 14 peaks over 8,000 meters. The first person that did it in 7 years. His name is Meinhold Messner. And I think the fastest it's been done is 4 years, and this guy's going to do it in 7 months. I mean, not to give it away. And so he had cameras with him, and it's pretty awesome. And you get to see, Chris, how attitude figures into accomplishing the impossible and mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty interesting from that perspective, even if you're not into like the mountaineering community.
Yeah, I've checked that out. That's cool.
All right. So So today, today's topic, pursuant to leadership in some respect, one of my blog assignments that I took on was symptoms of a healthy group ministry in a panel discussion. And you still contribute, I think, to our leadership blog at Lifeway Christian Resources, which is part of this. And for those of you out there that aren't familiar with that, you can go to lifeway.com/groups and you can find the podcast posted there and also lots of, I think, really great content. But, what I decided to do, Chris, was reach out to some of our friends, some friends of the show, and just see what they had to say about symptoms. What are symptoms of a healthy group ministry?
Yeah, I love the format that you use. So basically, you did a panel discussion, but instead of doing it by video, you did it through through writing. And so you just sent me an email, said, "Hey, what do you think a symptom of a healthy group ministry is?" And so
I said, "I need one thing."
Yeah, one thing. And I think I'm the only one as I scroll through the article to actually give you one thing.
I tried to rein it in with those guys, but you know, they're just content creators. You can slow them down. You can't hope to contain them.
Especially Ken Braddy. Looks like you, he wrote a post and you had to cut it down to a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, I'm sure that post will be hitting a KenBraddy.com soon.
Yes, yes. All right. So that is the premise of the article. I love the article. So let's do this, Brian. Let's run through each one of them. So contributors were myself, Jared Musgrove, who is a leadership pastor at the Village Church. He's been on multiple times. He may be the most frequent guest of Group Answers. And then Reed Smith, who I just had lunch with, actually, in Florida. I was in Florida a couple weeks ago.
I forgot you were down there. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to hang out. It was fun. So he's the director of Communities of Purpose for the Small Group Network. He's also a pastor at Christ Fellowship in Palm Beach, Florida. And that's where we were at, why I got to have lunch with him. And then Ken Braddy, who is also a frequent contributor to this show. And he's one of the Bible study publishing leaders at Lifeway, also the director of Sunday school. So you sent out a thing and said, "I am too lazy to write a whole article by myself. Will you guys help me?"
No, I implied that. I did not say that.
No, you did not say that. But you asked so let's do this. We'll start with me because I'll just work down the article. And then you gave your thoughts after, which I thought were really good. So what I said, a symptom of a healthy group ministry is that it effectively partners with the other ministries of the church to help people become more like Jesus. So what I meant by this is a lot of times at churches, ministries can become silos, especially as the church grows, as it gets older. And I think small groups is really a ripe category or a ripe ministry for siloing because it's not done on campus for the most part. It's out of sight, out of mind, so we can feel like we're on an island. And I think we're better together. So if we can work alongside other ministries and come alongside them, kids, students, adults, whatever other ministries you have, then it will be a stronger, more effective discipleship ministry than if we just go at it on our own.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a associated with what you're saying with the tyranny of the urgent. So with a lot of things that we say on the show, I think leaders out there would say, well, of course that's true. I mean, why would we even talk about that? That's ingrained in what we do. But I think I would also say a lot of those times what the most obvious things are the things that we maybe don't pay enough attention to. And so your point about siloing and being mindful of what's going on in the broader context of the church, to me, is a very natural creep that the group ministry would just creep inward on itself a lot because there is so much associated with the group ministry. I would say maybe next to Sunday morning, but certainly only second only to Sunday morning is the most logistically involved aspect of any successful church. So you've got the ministry leadership, operations, logistics, there's curriculum decisions. There is the almost constant interaction with one another. It is a very moving thing. It is a very evolving thing. So it just seems like it would be a very natural tendency for it to sink in on itself. And so I thought this point was really good, and that we need to step back from time to time and just be sure that we are consistent with the broader vision and direction on the one hand. On the other hand, that we are knowledgeable about what's going on in other areas of our community, so that we can support what's going on. And I think just because of all the challenges, sometimes that's not something that's as top of mind as it should be. And in the end, if it's not, then I think everybody loses. It doesn't mean that the small group or the group ministry is not successful or healthy. But I think it does mean that it is not functioning in the broadest capacity of what it otherwise would.
Yep. It diminishes what could be, you know, if we come alongside student groups, kids groups, you know, all of these other areas where we can pitch in, and then they can help us. You know, small group ministries need to figure out what to do with kids. And, you know, so there's all kinds of ways that we can partner together. So that was mine, was getting aligned with the other ministries. So I stuck to the one point. Next two guys. Yeah, Brian.
I would ask you, since you're the one that brought this to, you're the one that brought this to our attention. Have you found in your ministry and in your career a few steps just to be sure that you are being mindful? I mean, is it as easy as just, I don't know, making a note to yourself? Maybe it's monthly to meet with different ministry leaders. I mean, what practices have you put in place to just to remain consistent, mindful of what's going on in the greater context?
Yeah, I think communication is really key. So what you just said, making a note to meet with other ministry leaders at least, you know, once a month, just to kind of get a pulse of how can we support you better. One thing I love that I learned from Steve Gladen is when he's putting together a budget, I think it's the first 10% of it goes to other ministries. So out of their small group budget, they set aside money to support other ministries of the church. And I think that just goes a long way to unite everybody around the same cause. So I think communication, and if you can, even financial support, logistic support, whatever you can do with your ministry to help the other ministries, keeps you guys on the same page. So that's good. So the next one, Jared and Justin, actually, Justin is also a pastor at the Village Church. So they worked on this together, and they gave us four things. They didn't just give us one, but they talk about a healthy group activity, actively pursues healthy relationships with God and one another. So they're big on that, talking about the one another's, how you perform the one another's from the New Testament within the group life. The group also practices what is preached from the sermon each week. So that's where that message becomes action. They also said that healthy groups grow in their awareness of and use of their spiritual gifts. So they constantly ask God to use them to encourage, edify, and console. And then finally, a healthy group is a home base for people in the church. With all the activities within the church or outside the church, there is a refuge that comes with being in your home group, in your small group. So I think all of those are really good, Brian. You know, I would focus on all of those, on that, those one another's. If a group is serving one another, helping one another, you know, going down the line, then you probably have a healthy small group.
Yeah. And again, we're looking at the symptoms of a healthy group ministry. You know, Jared and Justin, these things are pretty intuitive. Couple, like when I got this, and what I try to do was just add a top of mind reaction that's almost just a commentary on it. But the two things that of their list, and again, it's healthy relationships with God and one another, practices what is preached from sermon each week. And then the last two, spiritual gifts and home base, and just the idea of a healthy group is a home base. Those last two are the two that really stuck out to me, the spiritual gifts and the home base. And I would just say on the spiritual gifts, my experience is, and I would just keep it personal, because I think there are ministries out there that do a better job of this than others, but you do the spiritual gift survey, there's a big rollout, and it just seems like it kind of goes away, in my experience with, now there's, again, it's worked better in some places than others, but I like the way that they couch this and that, Jared and Justin say that they constantly ask God to use them to encourage, edify, and console. So I think one of the things that's implied here is that they somehow, and I don't think that they are just saying that themselves understand the giftedness of everybody that's in group ministry at the church, but that the group leader should be familiar with that giftedness. And that the pastors in this case, Jared and Justin, are encouraging the leaders in this way and modeling it for them and keeping giftedness, the spiritual gifts of members, top of mind, I think, throughout the ministry. So it becomes a part of the DNA. So I thought that was helpful, I would say. It was not new or fresh necessarily, but just the way that they seem to make this a part of the rhythms of group life and are constantly going back to it, I think is something that is good for all of us to be reminded of. But then, Chris, this idea of home base. Did you ever read George Hunter's The Celtic Way or Celtic Way of Evangelism back in the day? I think it was an early 2000, late 90s book.
No, so, I think I did.
So Dr. Hunter was at Asbury College, and I don't know if he's still there or not, but I would absolutely recommend this book. He uses St. Patrick's as the model for evangelism in the 21st century. So it's a really cool book. But what I remember from that book mostly is this idea of monastic communities. And the idea here is that you embrace people in the community as a part of discipling them. And again, this is one of those instances where most people out there are going to say, well, of course we, you know, invite people into the community and disciple them. But I think it's way too often that really isn't the case, that we may invite them, but all indications are until you become more like us in your language, in your practices, in your family life, until you get to a certain point, you're going to be held at a certain arm's length. And the point here is that a healthy group is a home base for people in the church. Among various activities within the church or outside the church, they say group members find refuge, regularity, and replenishment in their group's ongoing life together. And so I would just say that the idea of home base is just a wonderful depiction of what group life can be, particularly in the world we live in today. We talked about that a lot on the show and how it's different. And I think the distinctives of the post-pandemic church are still emerging for us. But I think Jared and Justin would agree that a healthy group ministry is often an evolving process. And I put this in my note that there's equal parts messy and beautiful. But that's what home base is. And I think, again, that they would make this a part of their regular conversation and what they espouse and their vision and mission is just a really good thing.
Yeah, safe place. You know what I thought about when I read that was we did an episode a couple of years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago, with Michael Ware, who was a part of the Obama White House, and we were talking to him about his small group, and he used that word that he felt like it was a refuge for him just because of everything that goes along with living in DC and politics and just the world that is crazy. And that was pre-pandemic. That was pre a lot of the stuff that's going on now. But he looked forward to his small group because it was a place away from all of that. It was a safe space, a refuge. And I think, especially nowadays, you're right, Brian, we need to create those kind of environments so people can come into our small group and just kind of breathe and go, you know, they can be themselves. And of course, there's probably going to be topics that come up that are tension filled. But if long as we have the expectation that this is a safe space, that we love one another, we're all on the same team, you know, all of that, it's a really good thing. So I'm glad they brought that up. Next one on here, Reed Smith. And I'm not surprised this is the direction Reed went, because Reed is one of the most encouraging, supportive guys that I know. We've had him on the podcast a talk specifically about coaching. And so for Reed, it's healthy when leadership is strong and mutually supportive. And he says this demonstrates itself through consistent communication, care, and connections designed to equip and encourage leaders. And so he goes on to kind of spell that out a little bit, but basically it's a healthy group ministry is when we are taking care of our leaders, when we're not just tasking them to do a job of leading a Bible study every week, but we're actually caring for their needs, caring for their soul, praying for them, actively in touch with them, coaching, supporting, whatever term you want to use for that, it's going to be healthy. The ministry is going to be healthy when the leaders are healthy. And so I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Yeah, when we get to Ken, there's a little bit more about this. And, you know, I like Reed's use of mutually supportive. My reaction is I just remember a mentor telling me years ago when he's talking about leadership that you can't expect to lead people on a journey you're not on yourself. And that's always stuck with me that we, a lot of time, well, I don't know if it's true or not. I think there's a temptation that we, to some extent, stall our own growth and maturity in a leadership position while we're devoting so much time to those people that are surrounding us. And in the end, it's a both and. And I think that's where Reed's getting at with his reference to mutually supportive. In sports, a lot of the time, a great player only makes a so-so coach, if you've ever noticed that. That is, he or she could do the thing required, like a hitting coach, could teach it better than he or she could explain it. And group leadership does not work that way. You need to be a disciple. You need to be a practitioner, and you need to be growing and thriving in that role if you ever expect to be an effective leader. So I think that was one of the things that I that really stuck out with Reed. His term mutually supportive is key. I think there's also quite a bit wrapped up in the word communication in this sense. Communication isn't limited to information dissemination. I think a lot of time, I mean, that's exactly. A part of it, but it's not limited to that. But it includes, Chris, just like what you're hinting at, it's how you invite people into your life. How do you do that? I mean, is it out of obligation? Is that a warmth? It has a friendship? Is that a vocation? How do you ask for and provide accountability? Who do you give permission to ask you hard questions? Do you keep a wall up so that no one asks you the hard questions that you may ask other people? How do you demonstrate the care that Reed references, and how well do you listen? So I think those are all things that, you know, as I've gotten to know Reed, like you said, it's no surprise, but these are things that you have to be attentive to. For a lot of us, they just aren't natural. You've got to be reminded, and you've got to have people in your life that are reminding you.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not always natural for me. It's not something that just comes to mind. I have a new friend. We're actually starting a small group together out where I live in the country. And he's just, man, he's so good at that. He's always texting me like at least once or twice a week, like, how are you doing? You know, what are you doing this week to take care of yourself? And I want to be more like that. And I really appreciate having somebody in my life who does that. And we need to do that for our leaders and members in our groups that we take care of. The last one is from Ken Braddy. And he had a couple. First one I really agree with, and also not surprising coming from Ken. We've had him on to talk about this topic, but training your leaders to do what they do. I remember several years ago, I heard from a mentor, and it stuck with me. Never ask a volunteer to do a job that you're not going to train them to do. And that's what we do a lot of times when it comes to small groups is, you know, we recruit leaders because we need bodies. We need people to open up homes. And so we recruit them. We give them some curriculum. We pat them on the back and we say, go for it. Good luck. And most of the time, if that's all we do, it's not going to last. They're going to burn out. They're going to get frustrated because we didn't set them up for success. And so we've got to train our leaders so that they can succeed. I think it's a little bit probably easier in the Sunday school world, and Ken would probably say that because of it's more teaching. Small group world, we tend to say, well, they can just lead a conversation. Anyone can lead a conversation. Well, not necessarily. They need, and how to care for people. They really need to be trained. And then what you hinted about just a minute ago, Brian, he also talks about caring outside of that 1.5, 2 hour, 3 hour, whatever your group time is, that it goes beyond that, that it's a 24/7 mindset where people serve and care for one another Monday through Saturday if your group meets on Sunday. So it's important as well.
Man, that 24/7 mindset is pretty aspirational. But I mean, for those of us that have been in leadership, it's like, yeah, that's what we're after. It's a little bit tougher to kind of get that out of the team. But there are people out there, I think, that have been successful, and we need to listen to those. And I think Ken is one of them. The thing that
I've had some calls at like 2, 3 in the morning from small group members. It's been a while, but they were in crisis. And so it happens.
It, without a doubt, it happens. So I kind of pick up on the training a little bit, I think, and I point this out in my response. Training is just a little bit tricky, in my opinion, in that there's no one would dispute the importance, the value, the need, all of the things. There's a reason that's a lot of training options and opportunities. There's a reason that we schedule it, the reason that we talk about it a lot. But it seems like to me that there is a line in there somewhere when it comes to the time commitment that you ask of your volunteers. So one of the things with training is, boy, what you don't need to do is just do training for the sake of training, because people see right through that. It has to be something that you don't just throw together, that you give just a ton of thought to, and you have to demonstrate that you know, absolutely know where the pain points are with your leaders. So how do you manage these expectations? I think one of the things I pointed out, no surprise to anybody, podcasts, blogs, and books, I think, are great complements to the live training that we talk about, because they can be completed within the volunteer's personal time management, which in today's world is really important. So send a link to a podcast or a blog. And Chris, I think Group Answers does a real good job. I mean, someone can question our content and how good we are at it and how articulate we are. But what I think you would have a harder time question is that we do a good job of staying on topic. So I think this show is a good tool for leaders. I mean, you know, when you do a weekly show, not every topic is relevant to everyone, but I think every topic that we do is relevant to someone. We do a good job of titling them so you kind of know. But blogs and podcasts, Chris, I think reading like maybe 1, 2 at the most books a year, and then having the discussion, whether that's online or even in the hallways or maybe as a part of a regular conversation, is also a really good idea, because that gives you an immediate jumping off point when you sit down to coffee with one of your point people. So just a few things about Ken. Ken is a training, I mean, he's a training machine. Guru.
He's a machine.
In every way. Yeah, machine.
Yeah, and I would say go back and listen to, we did an episode with Ken. It's been a while now, but it's still on training and training rhythms. And I know that's been one of our most listened to episodes over the last 2 or 3 years. So Ken really breaks down, you know, how to build a training session, you know, all of that, which I think is super, super helpful. You talk about books. I just took my groups team here at Harvest. Now, this is staff, but I took them through our friend Bill Willits's book, Creating Community, that they just updated, which was really, really good. And you know what it gave us is a lot of common language that now when we talk about things, we know where we're coming from. We're not wholesale taking everything and saying that's what we want to do at our church, but it gives us some terms and all that we can understand as we talk about small groups and discipleship. So yeah, I agree. Any kind of extra little things that you can plug in for your leaders, and don't make it a, you know, please have this read or this listened to by this weekend. But if you can just salt it every once in a while and say, hey, next time we meet, maybe we can talk about this, you know, and so giving them just that ongoing training after they're leading a group. You know, they don't need all the basics at that point. They don't necessarily need to know how to, you know, lead a conversation or how to get their house ready, but they need to know how to deal with maybe this difficult person that is dominating the conversation or this crisis that came up with somebody's life in the group and we don't know what the next step should be. So all of those things that you run into once you start leading a group, you're not necessarily going to train on the front side, but they're going to need it as they go along.
And if you are looking outside for some of this, these more peripheral things like the podcast and the blogs, look for the true believers, not just people that are lifted up as that didn't come out right. But let me approach it from the other side. Ken Braddy is a true believer. So KenBraddy.com, you can check out his post, and there are many, many others out there, but I think it's important who you're pointing people to as well. Yep. So I would just say in closing, I just really appreciate you, Chris, and Reed, and Jared, and Justin, and Ken, if you're listening. I think they're friends of the show. That doesn't mean that they love us so much that they're going to listen to us, everything we say, but really appreciate you taking the time just to, because I know this wasn't a big ask, but it did ask you to sit down and do something that you weren't expecting to do whenever you did it. So really appreciate that. And you can find this post at lifeway.com/groups.
Hey, Brian, I just want to say Merry Christmas. This is actually going to post right before Christmas, so, you know, I don't know that I'll see you, but I hope that you have a great Christmas. And everybody listening out there, I hope that you have a time of relaxation and worship with your church family, and man, it's going to be fun next year. I think we're going to hit the ground running.
Cue the jingle bells, and Merry Christmas to you, and that's going to wrap it up for, go ahead and give me that sound bed, I'll wrap it up.
There you go.
That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Group Answers Podcast Show. Thank you for being with us. And again, just like always, think about subscribing to us, commenting, giving us a rating. It's always great.